T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour on The Score is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Track one of the Justin Fields album, Justin Fields Forever.
A QB we have hope about.
Justin Fields Forever.
I think we could all agree. Not enough me? Not enough me.
I know you just have one line, but it repeats a bunch of times, and it is the hook, after all.
I mean, it's a big line.
It's a big line. It's the hook of the entire album. The entire project is laid out for you.
It's a big line.
Yeah.
And I nailed it, obviously.
A Twitch user puts it best. Has Danny Parkins never heard a note of music in his life?
I think Justin Fields Forever.
I have a broadcast agent, but I'm wondering why I don't have a musical agent yet. And I think, frankly, when Tributosaurus starts doing live shows, yeah, I'm available.
What'd you do? Screw up like the Beatles and say you were bigger than Jesus?
All the time. It was the title of our second album.
First, I explained to you what the original song was, because you
was
had
helpful.
No idea.
that was very it's by a successful group, though.
Yes. Then I explained to you who the Beatles were.
Right. Rock group.
They're in that scene with the Dewey Cox movie. Like, that's the Beatles.
That was freaking transcendental, Paul McCartney. Don't you agree, John Lennon?
Yes, Dewey Cox. With meditation, there's no limit to what we can imagine.
Still don't really know what happened at the end.
Yeah, you looked at me like, what's going on? What's happening?
Yeah.
Ah, Danny, you're just the worst.
Hey, Tiny, who's playing today?
Jolly Green Giants. Beatles.
Beatles, are they any good?
They suck.
But it's not just a clever name.
Justin Fields Forever.
You have one of the worst voices I've ever heard, truthfully.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I still think I nailed it. You can check it out. That's on the SoundCloud page, yes?
That is on the SoundCloud page.
Justin Fields Forever.
I will tweet it out right now.
Thank you.
And it's, a lot of people have listened, which is beautiful. And tell a friend, it's fun.
We'll have to get Justin Fields on again and play it for him.
Sure.
I think that would be a great thing to do.
I think that would be great. I've received many a text from musician friends who absolutely love Strawberry Fields Forever and are furious with what we've done to it. And to them, I say, as always, you're welcome.
Yes, and as I shared earlier in the show, Lynn Bramer knows a thing or two about music, or at least I thought. He heard the song and he said, I just want to say that your ability to sing flat is a gift. They could pay a voice actor 10 grand and they would not be able to sing badly that perfectly. Without artifice, without pretense, just perfectly horrible. I laughed so loud my wife thought I was dying. To which, Lynn, I say, clearly you don't know music, my friend, if you're calling that horrible. Because I nailed nailed it.
Yeah, see, it's your confidence in the face of critique.
That's right.
That is truly, truly admirable. We'll see what the next song will be. We'll see what the next bit of inspiration is. It's safe to say right now, all conversational roads in the city of Chicago eventually lead to Justin Fields.
They sure do. And we will talk baseball here momentarily. And a texter asked if we are going to talk about the greatest achievement of the old Spiegel and Parkin show, which apparently in that texter's mind is not the Mitch album, but what he is referring to, yes, we will be addressing in about 20 minutes. I also want to hold this up for the Twitch audience. We got the Bradshaw Bourbon t-shirts.
See, that's a really cool. Just leave the front there up for a second. It's beautiful. Bradshaw Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey with Terry's autograph embossed there in red. What number did he wear when he was a Steeler?
Jersey number 12 is in the Raptors in Pittsburgh, and very subtle on the back of the bourbon shirt is a big old number 12 that looks like it's put on with like white duct tape. But by the way,
I just realized that might be part of his Tom Brady disdain.
Oh, a better number 12 on the all-time jersey.
I mean, 12.
Also TB 12.
Yeah. TB. Seriously.
Wow.
Let's be careful with better, by the way.
All right. Sure. Sure. Not in Terry's mind. But yeah. I mean,
you can't even it's his initials and 12. That's got a stick in his craw. No wonder he says he's not better than Staubach.
Next time we have him on, that's a great line of questions.
It really is. It really is.
You think there's going to be a next time?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Our quotes were not the ones that got him.
Well, he's just dumber than a box of rocks, isn't he?
Right. Yes. Exactly right.
Talk about Terry like that.
But I will say, there might not be a next time if all he sends us is t-shirts. Can you send us some bourbon, Bradshaw? We pimped the bourbon pretty hard.
I even told the COO, the guy who I got him through, I sent him a picture of the empty bottle of Bradshaw bourbon in my office, and he said, we don't have any to send right now.
All right,
but they got the rye. Wanstead,
look, the rye's coming out, right?
Look, I got to say, this is getting out of hand. I remember when I was working with as a producer for McNeil and Boers, and McNeil talked about how he liked to take a Butterfinger and crumble it up into his chubby hubby. Like, really, Chunky Monkey it was, excuse me.
What the hell's a chubby hubby?
That's a kind of Ben and Jerry's, but it was an anachronism. Oh. It didn't exist at the time. So Chunky Monkey. And then the next day, a case of Butterfingers was delivered, and I realized, oh my God, this microphone works.
There's people listening.
I thought about wanting to say, all right, you know what I like? Cash. Cold, hard, American cash. But this show
get a basement.
It's disgusting.
No.
It is gross. It is further than anything that I've ever been associated with. And I recently received a text from a guy who works for a team in town. I'm not going to say who he is, but his initials are Len Casper. And he said, I've never heard a sports talk show more focused on getting free or discounted furnishings than this show. And he's totally right.
Well, Casper, you have my number. Texted behind my back.
Maybe I shouldn't have said it was
him. Hey, Danny, how'd you get your engagement ring?
Doing commercials.
This is great. I mean, this is like,
I got my LASIK surgery for doing commercials too.
Really? I mean, really? Is this what we're doing? By the way, I'm looking for a car. I need a car badly right now.
What are you
now.
Talking about? Yeah. Everyone makes money some way, somehow. This is how we make money.
Yeah.
Again, my DMs are open. So, okay, well, let's talk about Len Casper's baseball. I guess that'll be exciting.
Hey, it's got to go through Mitch first.
The baseball?
No.
Everything.
Everything. Hey, go to Mitch first. His DMs are open.
Exactly right.
I am looking right now at MLB power rankings from three different websites. Okay?
Fascinating.
MajorLeagueBaseball.com or MLB.com, as the kids call it, Danny. The internet, it's all the rage these days, has the Red Sox as the number one team in baseball. The San Francisco Giants as the number two team in baseball. The surprising Giants. Buster Posey is a great story. And number three, the White Sox. Chicago White Sox pitching is on a roll, yada yada. MLB power rankings on CBS Sports have the Red Sox number one and the White Sox number two. And then MLB power rankings on Fangraphs over here have the White Sox as number one ahead of the Red Sox. They are 3-2-1 in the power rankings that I like to take a glance at every once in a while. Here's what Fangraphs says. Despite losing Luis Robert for months, the White Sox rose to the highest spot after allowing just 5 total runs to score last week. Their rotation has been the best in baseball by a wide margin. There's certainly some concerns about their outfield, and 2 of the young stars now out for extended periods of time. But there they are, number one atop the power rankings at the moment, with the best run differential in all all of baseball, having survived everything they have, including their own manager, to be this good and valued this highly around the game.
What a fantastic turn of events if you love the Chicago White Sox. And I'm falling in love by the breath.
And I think that it's all deserved, frankly. It's pretty incredible what they've overcome to have that run differential. And yes, it's a bad division. That caveat is worthwhile. And when people talk about, oh, you lost Eloy and you lost Robert, that's 60 home runs and 175 runs driven in or whatever. It's like, well, yeah, but you also, Yermín Mercedes is playing more, right? Yes. And he carried you for a while. So you're not replacing them with nothing. And in fact, in some cases, the guys that you've replaced them with have been American League Player of the Week and have had great stretches. And yes, so you've been replaced. Like, Eloy's production would probably not have been much more than Yermín Mercedes' production, at least for that hot stretch that he had. So part of the good fortune, I would say, that they've had early amidst the bad luck is that the replacements have come in and exceeded expectations.
Yes.
But when I look at them, I also still see just a lot of room for improvement that's reasonable. Like, Lucas Giolito has not pitched like an ace.
No, he's been the worst pitcher in that rotation. Early on, Evan Marshall has been bad. Aaron Bummer was bad, but Aaron Bummer is now completely and utterly unhittable. The last six outings for Aaron Bummer, six innings, four hits, no runs, no walks, eight strikeouts. He is a weapon in that bullpen, and if he is back to being himself like that, he is a game changer. He is closer caliber, but he's basically as good as Zach Britton ever was as a lefty with that sinker that's completely unhittable. I got this text from a friend.
Aaron Casper?
Jack McMullen, my nephew, the broadcaster and baseball devotee. Aaron Bummer right now, his average launch angle against is negative 15 degrees. So
they're just ground balls.
82% ground ball rate against. And it's like, that is peak Zach Britton when he was in Baltimore and was completely unhittable and almost won the Cy Young. And so with him having reestablished as a weapon and the starters as they are.
Well, man, Kopech. We've talked about it a lot. You know, I think he's the most interesting baseball story in this town on an individual level. They haven't fully unleashed him yet. So what is that going to look like? When is it going to happen? What's it going to be? You know,
he couldn't crack this rotation right now.
Kopech?
Who's going to replace Giolito?
Well, I mean, he's going to start Friday. Right,
he'd replace Keuchel. I'm kidding. But they're going to delay regular starting so they can maximize his innings, and they have the great, incredible benefit of being able to do that because of the starters.
Well, it's a good thing he was in that 8-0 game the other day. Then, if you want to save those innings,
that was an odd choice. Yeah, that seemed odd. But I mean,
unless he's on a schedule.
Well, that's what it is. Right? If he's going to pitch Friday,
he's going to pitch Friday. That's Sunday. Get out there, warm up. Burn it off a little bit. He's going to start Friday, so he won't pitch between now and then, right?
And
so think
he wouldn't.
Well, that's 4 days off then after yesterday, so maybe that's why.
Maybe, but he threw 87 pitches when he got that spot start, right, at the end of April. So, I mean,
and he said he wanted to keep going.
Well, right, so if Michael Kopech on Friday comes out and throws like 105 pitches and pitches into the seventh inning, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay,
yeah,
interesting.
We can do that if we want.
Now that's here.
Well, there'll be a time to really flesh this out, but the six-man rotation is a really interesting thought that is happening a couple places around baseball. The Giants did it for a while. I think Baltimore was doing it, but Baltimore stinks for the most part. But it's an interesting thing because it limits the innings for so many people, and it requires several starters to be available on their side day just in case. But it is something that they might want to consider at some point. Then you don't have to bump anybody.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that's Tony La Russa?
Could be. Sure.
Okay.
I mean, Tony has always been willing to try the next thing. In fact, he would like to do the next thing before anybody else does, so he can say how much he's not afraid of doing the next thing. He was the first guy to hit the pitcher eight. and, you know, and really annoy the entire baseball universe.
What a contribution. Thank you.
Wow.
But right, remember
Why
that? It was like, oh, God, really? This is what we're doing? Oh, I'm smarter than you, is what we all said about Tony then.
Yeah, and Joe Maddon.
We all wanted the pitcher to come up earlier in the ballgame. Yeah. Thank you so much for those of us who love to watch the pitcher hit.
Well, but then Joe, by the time Joe was doing it here, and now a lot of people do it sometimes, like getting that pinch hit opportunity earlier in the game became a legit thing.
A lot of people do it sometimes. I watch a ton of hockey. I caught about 15 minutes of the
game.
Hold
on. A lot of people do it sometimes. It's good. That is like 30% of the time. It works every time.
Yeah, a lot of people do it sometimes.
We love, in my house, we love Wani. I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
Right.
Right?
It's great.
I'm shopping with Christine the other day at Dick's Sporting Goods. She's looking for stuff for her dad, and she can't find anything she likes. There's thousands of shirts, right?
Of course.
Thousands. And she's just frustrated. She's looking around, can't see anything. And finally, she reaches one. She's like, I'd get this, but I don't like it.
Perfect.
Like, that's perfect.
Well, you've actually had two in the last minute, as a texter points out.
Yeah.
Matt Spiegel. Bummer has been completely unhittable in his last six games, six innings, four hits.
Okay. Fine. Completely unhittable.
And the point being that he was giving up a lot of soft contact.
Yeah.
So they are hitting him.
Yeah, they are hitting.
Okay.
A lot of people do it sometimes.
Yeah. A lot of people do it. I'm always available unless I'm doing
unless
something.
Unless I'm doing something.
All right, let's compile
I'm
these.
I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
There's got to be a name for these because these are not just, you know, these.
And by the way, a lot of people doing it sometimes.
Oxymorons.
But it's not, though, because.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and if you were to say.
A lot of managers do it sometimes.
Right, they're just not all doing it often.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it works. It hits the ear funny. It hits the ear like they are conflicting thoughts within one thought at the same time. So I really enjoy it.
I'd buy this, but I don't like it.
Exactly. They're cousins. Yeah. They're in the same frame. We'll just call them Waniisms.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't say all of them.
No.
I'm curious what. So Andrew Vaughn makes the nice play in left the other day, right? And he's playing more. Do you think Eloy plays left field again?
No. And I
don't either.
And I think this was the last straw on that.
Vaughn looking competent immediately.
Yeah, I think Eloy's injury was the last straw.
Okay.
But I mean,
it was funny because they've been talking about every once in a while. We got to get Vaughn. He's the DH.
That's just because he didn't have a spot. They didn't think he could play left.
Well, right. But
they
so didn't even all of consider. A sudden, Eloy gets hurt. Left becomes available, and Mercedes comes in and is also awesome. It's like, oh, man, we got a lot of DHs here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Andrew Vaughn might keep Eloy out of left field forever.
Which would be great.
And crazy based on where the conversation was 8 weeks ago.
I think Eloy should keep Eloy out of left field.
Yeah, we talked about this, Herb and I, on the podcast last night, and I think a good way to spin it to Eloy, because Eloy has been very upfront, like, no, I want to be a left fielder. I want to be an MVP type of player. I want to improve. And that's, remember, I was saying that for a long time, like, this kid's athletic enough where he could be Andrew Vaughn out there. But he lost the right to be out there when you hurt yourself like that and you let your teammates down. I mean, it was like a funeral that first week during the regular season. So I think you can spin it in a positive way. Like, Eloy, you want to be a good teammate? Just come back in DH. Andrew's earned the right to stay out there in left field. He's done a really good job, and Eloy sees that. So I think Eloy would just be happy to be back, and it would be not a miracle, but if he's back by September, I would be extremely happy about that. I'm not counting on him, but I think that's a way to spin it. Be like, you know what? A good teammate would be slide into that DH role and let Andrew Vaughn stay out there because he's earned the right. He's played, you know, 140 games or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's true. So then you don't have to have the conversation with full on, you have lost the right to do this. It doesn't have to be as punitive, thankfully.
Yeah, I think that is a good PR spin, but also we have to remember, like, athlete hubris, for lack of a better word. Like, you can spin anything one way. He's going to be hurt by it, but like, the truth is, he did lose the right to
do
it.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if he will, though. You're thrust in a pennant push, and all of a sudden he gets to play again. Which
he gets
is
to
like,
play.
Because he worked
hit.
So hard with the rehab.
That dude.
You know? Short term, this season, I do think you could sell it to him. Hey, man, you're coming
back.
But
if it works out, and all of a sudden, like, he thrives in the DH role, and Andrew Vaughn starts to hit and hit for power, then it's like, who's going to want to rock the boat in that scenario? If they're winning, everyone's happy.
Well, what about in this scenario if your mean Mercedes is still hitting, and it's August, and Eloy is sometimes getting days off?
Yeah, that's why I say I don't, you know, I'm not expecting him to be back by September, because then you have the Yermin problem. Like, they've got their glut of DHs, and I honestly don't know what you do with Yermin. Like, he's earned his, you know, he kind of fell off the table a little bit, but then he came back this weekend.
Yes,
and
he did.
He's right, also earned the right to stay in the lineup.
Yeah. There's a lot of time, logic, right?
Yeah. Not
like,
only
he could hit himself in or out. He could hit himself in where he's like, oh, Yermin plays every day, sorry.
And also, guys will get hurt. Guys will slump. Madden always used to say, and he was right, when the Cubs had this kind of like overload of depth, it felt like that baseball has a way of working itself out. It does, you know, like, but in the end you end up looking like, oh, okay, we don't have quite as much. I got to give some love to a very under-discussed member of that team, and I have had a tremendous amount of respect for him for a long time, because when he was in the minors, he realized that the only way he was going to get to the bigs was going to become a super utility guy. And Danny Mendick can play second, can play short, can play third. He's pitched an inning this year. He's been a DH. But that dude is a major leaguer, and it's been obvious now for a while. Maybe not a great major leaguer, but a thoroughly useful major leaguer. He's played left field in the minors. Now he's playing right field. I mean, that's not left field. It's different, and the demands are different. The expectations are different.
It's true.
But his mindset and his approach, I love the attitude of that guy. He's got no ego. All he wants to do is help the team and stick around in the big leagues. He said about right field, be an athlete. Go out, try to catch the ball, get it in, get it out. We're down a couple guys to try to help this team any way I possibly can. That is not cliche. That is how he has chosen to live his baseball career for the last decade. And now he's 27 years old, and he's sticking in the bigs. And you know what? He plays the outfield well enough that I would love to see him chosen over the likes of Billy Hamilton if a roster spot becomes an issue at some point.
Everybody loves Mendick.
Yeah. I think the world of that dude in terms of his attitude and what he brings to it.
So before
this is extremely meta, though. Before we move on from Danny Mendick, he should get all his flowers today.
That was a very passionate Spiegel, good vibes, babe. The appreciator.
Right,
no, I'm not saying he's wrong.
He's been awesome. Plus, he hits a home run the other night when the team's lacking in home run production.
He was so relaxed the other night after the game, talking about how they asked me to play right field. I was like, okay. Yeah, I'll go give right field a shot.
I just never forget that every one of these guys in every sport that we watch was probably the best athlete in their high school, and then they have to make a choice along the way. All right, am I going to let my ego get me in trouble and think that I shouldn't minimize my role and actually be able to stick around? And the guys who quickly grasp the humility and say, here's my niche, you know, or here's my spot. And I have a ton of respect.
We've reached the very meta point of the Danny Mendick filling in for Luis Robert, where now we're getting Danny Mendick comps to Luis Robert.
Well, I guess you guys can't do it, but if you ever come out and watch batting practice and watch Mendick in the outfield, I mean, he's making plays. It looks like a smaller version of Robert.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy. Yeah.
He's exerting himself in batting practice to make Luis Robert-esque plays in the outfield. This guy is such a whack job. My God.
You know what happened? He's like, he watched a guy make a play in the outfield. It's Mendick. Reminds me of that other guy who made a play in the outfield. Oh, Robert. Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Like, he could have said anybody. At that point.
Anybody else. Yeah. I'm telling you, soon Ray Lankford is going to come out. Like, there's going to be
Jim Edmonds.
some of these guys, some of those comps.
Wow.
He looked like Pujols. Pujols out there.
Ron, why have we signed Pujols?
Looked like Ron Gant out there.
That is very meta.
Wow.
Can we not ask every baseball expert we have on for Danny Mendick comps, please?
I remember when I turned Rick Ankiel into a pitcher? What do you think I'm doing with Danny Mendick?
Yeah.
All right, so before the season, we went around the room and guessed most innings in left field for the White Sox after the Eloy injury.
Yes, we did. I chose Engel. It was before he'd gotten hurt.
Yep.
So that
I chose
before he re-aggravated the injury. Like, he was hurt at that point. I think he was the first one to go down, but we all thought he was going to be back by like a week into the season.
Right. We thought the second week of the season was when he was originally scheduled to come back.
Yeah.
I think I said Lurie Garcia. And you guys said Eaton.
When you guys said Eaton?
I said, no, we said Engel. I think both of us said
Engel.
No,
I said Andrew Vaughn.
Okay.
Did you say Vaughn? You said Vaughn. I said Garcia, and you said
Eaton. I no, I said Angle.
Angle.
I said Angle.
Oh, yeah, Tanny, okay, you and I agreed on Angle. That's
so,
right.
So. It was a smart, right move. I don't care what happened. Oh, I mean, yeah, a total catastrophe.
Process over results. It was the right play at the time.
So now do we think it's Vaughn across the board?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Change your mind, for sure.
Looking like it.
Right?
Right now. I think it looks like it.
But I'm just saying, like, it's interesting. A month in, he's so young, there was questions about, like, what his role was going to be.
Sure.
How often he's
going to be. It's a long season. If Yermin falls off the table, see, I don't think that's going to happen. That's the thing. That's where I am. But if Yermin falls off the table and goes back down, you could DH Vaughn and play Angle out there.
Yep.
But
assuming Mercedes still hits.
I think Yermin is for real as a hitter. I think he is that approach, his adjustments, the way the league will adjust to him, and he can adjust back. I think he's going to be not a 375 hitter his whole life, but I think that dude is a 320, 330 hitter.
A 330 hitter?
Yeah.
For his career? Okay.
Well, no, I mean, not for his, but I mean, look, right now, for a burst, for a burst of a couple years here, and then who knows, body could break down, attitude could break down. I mean, you're showing up late on a Sunday morning. That's the book. That is the book,
yes,
on him. So you can't do that stuff. But I think that dude is a real hitter.
Fun audio, two different pieces relating to some of our teammates and friends of ours here at the station and our show. I love when we do this. This is maybe my favorite kind of radio. We do it next on The Score.
Zalawoski
and Rick Camp in studio.
So, you know,
the tuba, man.
It's perfect.
The tuba is the official instrument of the fat person.
Yeah.
Just sounds like one walking around.
It's perfect. And I think everyone knows, and I think I could speak for you, but you've worked with them a little bit shorter than I have. But I love Tanny and Shane.
Absolutely.
Love these guys. I think that we got the best producer team. These are the two people that I would choose to produce this show. They're fantastic. But you and I, when we first prepared together in the old Spiegel and Parkins days, which is
very different show.
As you always point out, very different than Parkins and Spiegel. Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp were our producers. And for me, they'll always have a special place in my heart because they were my first producers in Chicago.
And when we gelled as a four-pack, it was special.
It was great.
It was very nice, and that's the way that it always it always should feel.
And it was Campy's first time being a full-time producer,
yep,
and it was a little tough for me kind of breaking in at the station in some ways, and they were very welcoming and the whole thing. And
just remembering how strange some of Rick Camp's interjections were and are. It's just like, you know how we all try to be fast and make like one reference to the next one, to the next one. Campy was always like two references ahead, and those references were happening in his mind and his mind alone.
Yeah. Right? Which is not how you want to do radio when there's an audience.
No, you want to fill the audience in.
You got to walk them along with the references. Yeah. So sometimes Campy could just grind the show to a screeching halt, and then we would play off that, and it was fun. But they launched a podcast that originally was just a bit on the show with whenever we were talking about unhealthy food.
Whenever
my number podcast that I threw at him, MD4040.
That one was, I didn't understand what the hell he was talking about for so long. Ridiculous. Unbelievable pull by you. So anyway, they actually then launch an I'm Fat podcast.
Because it was just a bit. We would like bring in different kinds of food to taste and try. It's like, well, let's go to the hosts of the I'm Fat podcast.
Yeah.
It was an imaginary podcast that now has become a real podcast. And how many episodes have they done?
They're in the 80s, I think.
And they have t-shirts.
They have a ton of merchandising. I have a magnet on my fridge. The 0.0 just cracks me up as a playoff, the 26.2 for the marathon. And they were featured on the front page of the Daily Southtown. Like, these guys are getting a lot of pub for talking about food as proud fat people.
Yes.
And Jay tweets last night that he did an interview with the BBC because Wendy's was going to the UK, and I thought he was joking.
He was not joking. I heard him explain it today with Bernsey, where he said that he got a tweet, just an at from somebody who followed him, a BBC producer, who was looking around for someone to represent American fatness.
I haven't heard any of this. I'm really excited.
And asked Jay on Twitter, and he followed back and DM'd And then he was a guest on a BBC talk show.
I'm so weirdly proud. Like, he's an American ambassador for fatness because of a stupid idea from a stupid midday show.
Yeah.
Let's hear Jay Zawoski representing fatness to England.
Let's talk about Wendy's now, shall we? The burger chain, America's second largest burger chain, is returning to the UK after 20 years. Famous for square burgers.
Chain.
Is he saying chin or chain?
Chain.
Because Americans do chain. Often have two chins,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Chain.
Famous for square burgers. Yes. I would not have thought that was what Wendy's are famous for, but I get it.
Sure.
Now? Yeah. I think about it, sure. Yeah.
Okay. It has plans for up to 400 outlets nationwide, creating at least 12,000 jobs. So what's the appeal of Wendy's? Jay Zawoski is the host of I'm Fat podcast. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Are you fat, or is that just the title?
I am absolutely fat.
It's a great first question.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Stephen, it's a terrific first question. Because I would want to know as well, are you impersonating a fat person on your podcast, or are you legitimately fat, sir?
Jay Zawoski is the host of I'm Fat podcast. Are you fat, or is that just the title?
I am absolutely fat.
There it is right there. The happy embrace of the fat for Jay Zawoski.
Right, well, so am I. Good to talk to you.
You too.
What is it about Wendy's then? What's the appeal in the U.S.?
Well, here, I'll tell you the truth. And you mentioned as you were bringing me in, and I appreciate you having me on, that they're the second biggest burger chain. But they are pretty much by consensus the best burger in the American fast food landscape. They have the best hamburger or cheeseburger you can get. McDonald's is by far the most popular because of convenience and because of how many locations there are. But we all kind of agree, us fat Americans all sort of agree that Wendy's is the best.
I mean, that's very definitive. Like, I don't want Jay Zawoski speaking on behalf of fat people like myself or Americans, to be honest with you.
No, he's speaking for an entire nation, an entire obese nation.
He's like the White House spokesperson on behalf of the Biden administration. He's like, I can tell you that the official position of fats is that Wendy's is the best burger.
Yeah, he's going to pick up the podium and start walking towards people.
Hey, when I say there's bad info out there, and a lot of it, it's stuff like this, going on an international news outlet and just saying, hey, Americans, we like this.
Yeah.
That's bad, man.
I mean, yeah, you can maybe one little caveat, according to my sources or people I've spoken to, but no, he just goes ahead and represents with authority. I like it, actually.
Why? What's the difference?
I think just the quality of the meat.
Subjective, isn't it?
I think the quality of the meat is better, or at least seems better. It's a thicker beef patty. And they also offer, aside from the burgers, their spicy chicken sandwiches are delicious. Obviously, the Frosty is their flagship dessert. And you can, a little tip for those that have never had Wendy's before, dip your French fries into the Frosty.
Oh.
And that's a sweet and salty delight you've probably never had before. So.
And that is an acquired taste. That is next level and beyond the understanding of the Brits, in my opinion. Right? That
he
is
just
too.
Blew that guy's mind.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, that guy, how about the listeners? Listeners are like, what? How dare you? I might just have to try that.
Do you think the segment ends and the host says to like his equivalent of Shane Ritter, excellent book. You found
great
the perfect
job.
Guess.
Excellent job. Shin. Shin. He's perfect. Got a Shane over there that he calls Shin.
It's Jay Zawoski is the host of I'm Fat podcast.
Oh.
Are you fat, or is that just the title?
I am absolutely fat.
Incredible.
It really is incredible.
All right, so do we have anything after the Frosty? After the Frosty bit?
That's something that a lot of people do here in the U.S.
And let's talk about the business model. Why did it leave 20 years ago, and why is it coming back now?
I couldn't tell you why I left the UK. I would assume it would be just because of lack of popularity. But what I like about Wendy's in the States is they do their own thing, and they take pride in the quality of their food. It's not
as a total curveball.
Yeah,
he was not prepared for that question.
He's
That's
not
bad producing.
Fun to answer that question. He's there to talk about fatness.
Jay, could you speak on the fiscal and business realities of the international fast food market, please? No, sir. No, Stephen. Dad, I'm just a fat guy in Homewood trying to talk to you about Wendy's. Don't ask me about the business realities of international fast food chains. But Jay, like an expert, takes the answer, says, I can't really speak on that, and then twists it, starts talking about Wendy's.
I would have much preferred if he would have faked it till he made it. They spent too much money on advertising, and they just the fry did not translate because they're used to the chip instead of the cut.
He wants to be asked back. This is his first segment on the BBC. This could launch an entire new realm for
the
NFL.
He's
going to
be out for the NHL trade deadline. It's perfect.
So much about being the cheapest or being the fastest, but it's the best and it's the best quality. So, you know, while, again, McDonald's is more popular, Wendy's is better. It costs a little more, but it's just overall better food top to bottom.
What are the burger wars like in America at the moment? Or, you know, have they all learned to deal with each other and live with each other? All these big
Well, what's
chains?
Funny is, what's happening now, the burger wars have shifted to the chicken wars. Now everyone is coming out with a breaded or fried chicken sandwich, and that's the new war.
It's true.
Everyone's trying to outdo one another with the chicken sandwich.
I like how I clarified the breaded and fried. For those across the pond, if you don't know what breaded means.
Right, exactly. Where they invented fish and chips, by the way. Everything's breaded and fried. I love that. And he's absolutely educating the Brits right now about a reality here in America they may not be aware of, which is the chicken war. Does he mention chicken corners over there at Diversey or Fullerton, Elston, and Damon?
Shane, would you have gotten on there and explained that it's actually just easier to make your own square burger?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Okay, sure. That'd be great. I love that he's an international expert.
He is
international.
He is the Secretary of Fat. He absolutely is our National Secretary of Fat.
That is
our Ambassador of Fatness, I really should say.
And we have a chain here called Popeyes, which is all fried chicken. That is they're reigning right now. That's the king of the chicken sandwich, and everyone else is trying to beat them. So McDonald's has come out with theirs, and Burger King's come out with theirs, but the second to Popeyes is Wendy's. Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich is excellent. And I go to Wendy's, that's what I get every time.
Is KFC not the dominant brand for chicken?
I have to say, just based on my experience here, I live in the Chicago area. KFC's fallen off a little bit in terms of quality and in terms of consistency. And Popeyes has reigned supreme as the best chicken place. I think it's not even really close in terms of competition. But KFC, they know what they're doing. They've been doing it for a long time. But the best chicken sandwiches go to Popeyes and Wendy's.
Jay, thank you very much indeed. Jay Sawatzki, host of the I'm Fat podcast.
Oh, that was stellar.
I'll give this to Jay. He's speaking with as much confidence and authority as he should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
100% authority. Like, he is the utmost talker on this subject.
Well, perfect guest.
It's a perfect guest. And he knows how to do radio. I thought he was an absolutely perfect guest. And I hope that Stephen calls Jay Sawatzki again.
I'm just kind of surprised he went over there to do it in studio.
Weird. That was a surprising choice.
Yeah.
Their budget is just huge. They were able to fly him.
Oh,
business
God.
Class.
He totally outed Chicago as the home of American fatness, by the way. Like I'm in the Chicago area, and I'm just, oh, yeah, of course.
So how the hell do you get Jay Sawatzki
in the BBC studio?
Well, believe it or not, they put him on a plane.
They fly him.
Oh, that is remarkable.
It's so good.
I'm proud too, man. That's beautiful.
Right?
And you know what? And I bet they're helping people who aren't proud of their own fatness. I bet they're feeling a little more comfortable in all that skin, you know.
I saw the tweet, I swear to God, I kept scrolling. So I was like, oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's a funny joke. You're being invited on as an ambassador of fatness.
It's tremendous. No. I hope it's a recurring segment.
Yeah, of course.
If I were Steven and his producer, I would absolutely bring Jay back.
It's we're like proud parents of a little fat baby.
Who looks just like Don Zimmer, as all babies do.
We'll answer a question or two next. It's one last thing on the score.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
I heard Jan Shambi today. He was talking about the Cubs offense.
Is that new, Grody? I'm sorry. Is that a new one you've been working on a little bit, the slow rollout? I like it.
What'd you think?
I like it, yeah.
Jan Shambi, Jim DeJays. It's a work in progress. You know, I don't know if this is the place to workshop it necessarily.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Drive time, 5 o'clock hour. Yeah.
Here's John Shambi. John Shambi, I'm very calm. I've got things to say. What do you think, Sut? What's your favorite kind of cheese? Like, he is the ultimate in, I'm just going to take a few deep breaths, John Shambi, and I'm going to be calm.
So that was after Cubs baseball on Friday when the three of us were out and it was just Grody and Tanny. Sounded like Tanny was really enjoying himself, counting down those minutes till the weekend. Mark Grody comes up after us, by the way.
That's outstanding. Keep working, Groats. Remember, it's about rushing attempts. It's not about average yards per carry. It's about attempts. Keep it rolling.
I heard John Shambi.
That almost sounds like a drunk Harry Carey impression. Like, that's like a cousin of a soft-pedaled Harry Carey impression.
I don't hear the lisp that he's hearing.
Boog is definitely calm.
Oh, yeah.
Very conversational, very calm.
As he went on and he got to the thing about him, calm, what do you think, Sut?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite cheese? I thought he was getting there. I thought he was getting there.
In terms of the topics and the cadence. And
yes.
Yeah. But voice could use some work. That's just our feedback.
I heard John Shambi today.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him.
Yeah.
Right? So I like it.
Yeah.
Keep shooting.
Keep shooting.
My
shooting
dad said
shots.
He liked it. You know, we were having Mother's Day dinner last night, just out of nowhere, unsolicited. Hey, I thought Grody's John Shambi was pretty good.
Hey,
I was like, yeah, it was fine.
What'd your dad think of us interviewing the horse today at 3:40?
Oh, we'll find out about that later tonight.
I feel,
hopefully, I don't get the call about
I feel
that
good.
One.
I feel good about the horse interview. I really do. I think that was the highlight of the day. I still think you guys should have gone for my horse voice. I volunteered a horse voice that was dismissed without me ever having a chance to flesh
it
out.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, this horse is going to be in the news for a while. We'll wait to see what these test results yield, and then maybe we can get a follow-up.
Yeah.
See, it might be hard to book
at
that point.
I think that's certainly possible.
This
segment, by the way, brought to you by Elmhurst BMW. You earned it. You deserve it. Visit elmhurstbmw.com.
We're not doing questions. We're out of time.
We were out of time, and Grody's coming up after us, so
okay.
I wanted to hear the impression. Texters did want to know what Shane and Tanny's go-to-tool brands are, since they were so helpful in assembling stuff at the house this weekend.
Milwaukee. Big Milwaukee guy.
Whatever is on sale. But I do lean Milwaukee if I can afford it.
Yeah.
And also, The mallet that I had to fix
the
that dresser
mallet,
drawer,
yeah.
That was an S-wing. Because remember, Big Doug used to say, you know.
S-wing house!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Those are swing. Use an S-wing.
That's awesome.
So thank you to
Danny's favorite tools are whichever one Steph has left over from college.
Obviously. I was letting one of you make a jump.
Thank you.
Thank you to Steph for coming on the show today. Thank you to Medina Spirit for coming on the show today, and thank you to Barry Irwin.
That was the best part.
For coming on the show today. What was
that answer that you did?
Yeah,
need to wrap.
It was good. Thorough, short, concise answers. A tough interview, but I thought fair and measured in his responses. You're not listening.
Yes.
Literally,
I thought he was measured. I thought he was measured in his responses. I agree.
Did you see that?
Damn.
Yeah, that was great.
Damn. Literally, not
thought
listening.
We were done. Thought we were done. Thought we nailed it. Thought
I mean,
we.
Yeah, you know, he was.
We hit the post.
All right, that's fine.
Love you. Love your show.
Yeah, it's great. We're here together. Thank you to Brian Gertz. He runs our Twitch chat. Thank you to Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill makes it sound better than we are each and every day. You are Matt Spiegel.
I am.
I am Danny
That's
Parkins.
True.
We are Parkins and Spiegel. Mark Grody's coming up next. This is The Score.
Hey, happy Monday, baby. Baby. Hey, if you got to go to work or go to school, hey, Monday, go yourself, baby. Hey, Monday, go yourself. Yeah. Happy Monday, baby. Yeah, if you gotta go to work or go to school, hey, Monday, go f*** yourself.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.